Welcome. My name is Tracy Stevens, and this is the Healing Point Podcast. So, welcome. Thanks so much for coming. What is it you'd like to explore?
I think that I have kind of a overlapping things that have come to light, I guess, recently. So I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's back in 2014. So I have a thyroid disorder that I've worked very hard to heal. Simultaneous to that, I just have a ton of exhaustion in spite of all of the kind of work I've done. And we've been trying to get pregnant for a number of years. And so some of the, you know, deep shadow work has been happening and going back and understanding some of my prior control freak tendencies and some of my, you know, ways of handling the world where I have to be able to fix things for people. That's a lot of my job in real life. That's a lot of the work that I do. It's where I sit in my family or used to sit in my family. So I was kind of the coordinator. I've always been the person who's called on, especially when people need help. And I think I've done a great job for a lot of years of prioritizing, you know, taking care of others. And it's been harder for me to be able to take care of myself and nourish myself and really make the space I need in spite of, you know, doing yoga every day and having a background in it and, you know, all of these other modalities I've used.
Yeah.
It really feels as if there's just this underlying exhaustion and difficulty in really being able to pinpoint when I'm already a little bit at too much.
Right.
And getting used to saying no and those types of boundary things I've been really working on for years. So I guess that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I'm 40. I want to have a family where we did a lot of the things we thought we should do in quotes, to get that sorted. And, you know, it's not something that I can control or push or force. And so it's a moment for me to have to learn a new way. And it's been gradual, but yeah. I'm certainly working through those new muscles.
Okay. And how long have you been trying to get pregnant for?
I would say in earnest, it's probably been 4 or 5 years. And we've had lots of things happen stress-wise within those 4 or 5 years that have made parts of that difficult. My husband is an attorney. He owns his own law firm. It's like a family business. It's a lot of up and down. My work has had huge ups and downs. I'm pretty ready to move on, and I have been for a while from this work that I've been doing. It's very aggressive and agitational at times. I'm a union organizer. And, you know, I think some of those parts have made it hard to feel at peace, at ease, in a place of welcoming. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Okay. So just to be clear, the work that you're doing at the moment, like in terms of career, is sort of union representation. So it's to do with conflict and resolving conflict.
Okay. Yeah. And I also have a background in restorative justice. So I have these two parts where that's where I want to be in doing that work of healing. And where I live for my work ends up being in that kind of agitational place. And it's very conflicting and at times hard for me to balance my desire to move into this really different direction with the thing that's paying me at the moment, right? And negotiating those things.
It's quite a thin line to tread, isn't it? How do you move from one area to another area following your heart? And obviously you're really aware that environment is no longer viable for you in the long term. It's not healthy for you.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so just to get an idea of your energy, well, firstly, we're talking about fertility here rather than the Hashimoto's. Is that right? Yeah.
Let's go for that. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. The Hashimoto's in terms of autoimmune is there in the background, but the desire is to get pregnant and to change things as soon as possible by the sounds of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just in terms of fertility, I'm assuming you've been through tests and hormones.
Yes.
And yeah, all that whole physical mm-hmm. stuff. And out of all the physical stuff that you've done and the medical stuff you've done, has anything shown itself to you in terms of, you know, hormone levels or any issue that's come up, or is it still unexplained for you?
It's theoretically unexplained. I guess I probably have, you know, one of the tests is an AMH, and that's like a little low, which is natural for my age, right? Okay. It's,
yeah.
You know, those types of things. So nothing out of the ordinary. There's no indicators that there's a problem.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No, that's good to know. So just to make sure that that's all there as a baseline. Is it okay if I just ask you a bit about the history of your menstrual cycle and your hormones? Sure. So is there anything been an issue with you since your teenage times in terms of the way your periods have worked?
When I was younger, I was pretty lucky. I had a really normal cycle. I didn't have it, you know, I had some cramping always, whereas my mom and my sister always had very heavy cycles. And so it wasn't until probably maybe 6 years ago or so, probably around the time my Hashimoto's was diagnosed, where I was starting to have fluctuations in my cycle and it became really heavy.
Right.
So I now have heavy cycles with like clotting and, you know, it's really painful. They're very painful. And so that's new to me. It was something I had heard my mom and sister talk about. And then I, you know, was really surprising how big of a shift it was.
There's a real draining quality to
yes,
that. Yeah.
And seeing so many women in my family go through it too, right? You know, I know it's just like you're laid out.
Yeah. It's just really interesting just to go back in time really and look at where that tendency has come from as well. Because if we think about heavy periods, there's this loss of vitality. And you've already mentioned that exhaustion. Mm-hmm. There's this draining
mm-hmm.
and the blood is trying to stay. It's trying to stay in within you, which is why I get the clots, but there is a stagnation there. It just wants to leave.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is in spite of doing acupuncture and doing lots of things to try to address it.
Yeah. And in Chinese medicine, we'd be talking about a yang deficiency. So that energy, that vital energy is just sort of, it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my belief this goes right back into childhood. And I'm sure you've already done quite a bit of work in terms of childhood environment that you grew up in. You said your mum and your sister had these heavy periods, heavy cycles. Are you able to see in them this lack of vitality?
For sure with my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely been, you know, many of the narratives, many of my, you know, many of the things I've been working around have been around understanding she will go to exhaustion. Her body will get sick before she will stop. That has always been, we didn't have downtime.
Right.
What are you doing? You know, in a positive way, what are you doing for your community? How are you helping people? And from a beautiful place, but beyond, like not taking care of yourself first. It was always giving immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you recognize that in yourself?
I do. I know that the Hashimoto's came to slow me down because I had been a college professor. I was doing tons of activism. I was, you know, the level of giving at that stage in my life was beyond what I could sustain.
Yeah.
And I believe that the diagnosis was a benefit because it really gave me a reason to check myself and start learning how to take better care of myself. But it was also super scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really like a lot of fear because I felt like I couldn't control my body. I felt like, you know, one of the main things that happened, I was gaining weight. Even when I was working out constantly, I've always eaten so well. I've been that person that's always so healthy. And I think it felt like my body was out of control. And I see that relating to me trying to get pregnant and feeling this sense of maybe a lack of trust that it's going to be able to do what it needs to do in some ways, even though I was able to put it kind of in a remission and really like learn how to work with it and prevent flare-ups. There is this sense of worry about how much energy I would have. And I'm oldest of five, so I've already raised kids, really, okay. In that way. And so I think it's that knowing it takes a lot of energy and it takes a lot of work. And then that concern of, okay, how do you manage that?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that worry where you are right now, does that sit with you, you know, a lot of the time?
I would say that I 100% believe I will become pregnant. There's just a knowing for me that it will happen. But there are times where I feel unsteady. Something comes up in our life. My husband's retina detached 2 months ago. It was a 10-week recovery. I went into full-on caregiving mode, like beyond. Did my work, was helping with his work. It was a whole thing. And afterwards, I was like, oh my God, how did I get here again? It was so uncomfortable.
And it was so automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where I'm, you know, where my mind is going as we're talking, is that despite doing all the things that you feel is the most appropriate to do, and you know, reading the books and taking the rest, mm-hmm. doing the yoga, and there's still this automatic response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm just interested, like, what your energy is like on a day-to-day basis. You said that you feel tired. Do you mind just walking me through like a typical day and how your energy levels sort of fluctuate?
I would say I don't feel very well rested necessarily. So when I wake up, I'm already kind of a zombie. I do yoga, but I can't do much more than maybe I could, but I am exhausted beyond 30 minutes or so of doing anything very, you know, heavy lifting. You know, I can't do the same things I used to enjoy doing.
Yes.
Without it really wearing me down.
Yeah.
So I would say that I have peaks of energy in the middle of the day where I'm very efficient. I can get things done. And then, you know, towards the end of the day, I'm again, just like really, really tired. And it ebbs and flows. I'm aware that a lot of it has to do with what's happening emotionally in my world.
So do you physically go to work or do you work from home? Or
I work from home predominantly. There are times where I will have to go report somewhere, but for the most part, I'm working from home.
And what goes through your head when you like first have to switch your computer on in the morning? And
dread.
Yeah. Okay. And what's the thoughts behind the dread?
I think it's difficult because so much of my work is helping people who are having terrible situations, or something bad has happened and now I'm hearing about it, or it's a lot of, you know, those types of things. And I wonder whether I have the energy to, you know, handle it or welcome it into my space. You know, it's just.
It sounds like you haven't got the energy to welcome it into your space.
Right.
Which just makes me think of that drains you more.
Correct. Yeah.
Because you're still giving it that. At that point, if dread is the place that you start the day, because you've got to support somebody else in that at that moment.
Yeah.
What does it feel like to, you know, you are supporting people, but what does it feel like in your body when that first thing, that first person, that first issue comes up in when you start your day on your work day?
I think it initially goes through cycles, probably, where I'm initially frustrated because something has happened that, you know, a lot of it for me feels like this doesn't have to be this difficult all the time. You know, it gets frustrating. I don't feel very well supported either as somebody doing my work.
Right.
I think it feels like I have to kind of go into warrior mode in my job because I don't have the energy, right? And I want to go in restorative mode. And I want to be able to do this a different way, but it feels as if the kind of structure doesn't allow that. And so I think that that's the part where I notice in my body, I have to kind of like puff myself up to get in a place to be able to do the work.
Yeah. Yes.
And very defensive. Like I have to be like defending my member. I have to be defending myself. I have, you know, it feels very much like I have to go into this, this mode. And then I end my day. I try to go for a walk and remove that stress cycle, but it's like, that's a lot of running in and out of a persona.
Yeah.
Just to get through a day.
Yeah. And like you say, warrior mode, you know, there you are. You have to put the armor on. You have to get the knives out. You have to be ready to defend and project that energy forward in terms of assertiveness. And yeah, and it just sounds like your body just doesn't want to do that.
No. And I think what's fascinating is I've applied for jobs for years and I get told constantly, you're perfect for the job, but we need you to be able to move.
Right.
Just like every time. And I'm fascinated because I just think it's a moment where I'm supposed to figure this part out here.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been that transition that made sense yet.
And it sounds like warrior mode has been where you've been.
The majority of my life was warrior mode. Yeah.
Yeah. Which always makes sense to me in terms of autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
There's this fight aspect mm-hmm. to autoimmune. It's like, if I haven't got anything to fight out there, I'm going to fight internally.
Right.
But it sounds like the pattern is still continuing,
mm-hmm.
which means that somewhere there's a belief
mm-hmm.
that sits in you that you've got to stay in warrior mode. If that belief is still sitting there, let's talk about that in terms of a part of you, because a part of you feels like it has to be the warrior all the time. Yes, mm-hmm. your work has all been built around that warrior mode, but it's still inside of you, that warrior part. What is the other part? What's the future part look like for you? What would that be?
Well, the future part is interesting because I potentially would be going out and doing my own thing, consulting, you know, trying something really new and unstructured, which is scary to me, right? Like not having a guaranteed income every month or, you know, having to do some of that and even having energy for that has been something I've been trying to consider. Because my hope is to be able to bring restorative practices and restorative justice to lots of different, you know, workplaces, to helping people in different ways, not in a way that is aggressive, but in a way that is coming from compassion and understanding and sitting in someone else's place and being able to understand more about people and finding ways to trust and finding ways to build community. So it's much more of the building and the loving and the caring and the nurturing and the nourishing. That's the future.
Yeah.
Which makes the present really difficult because I know I want this thing, but I know that the ability to do it right this minute feels impossible. And maybe that's also the pregnancy thing too.
Right.
It feels like a big lift.
Okay, so you've hit a block there, but everything you've just said about your future and what you're you know, what you're wanting to create in the world is applicable to yourself. Like restorative justice for you.
Yeah.
Nurturing for you, understanding for you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you're wanting to give in the world is also what you're wanting to receive.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening in your body now?
Just definitely agree.
Yeah. Well, let's just sit with that for a second. Just allow that just to percolate into your system.
Yeah, I really appreciate that reflection because I think it makes tons of sense.
Yeah. And just notice how you're fighting that progression. So this is just a metaphor and an image of what's going on inside.
I agree. Yeah.
Can you trust? Can you trust that you will be supported by the universe to make a change like this?
Yeah, I do. I think like 80% of me does. It's that 20% I'm still just trying to, you know.
Well, just notice the words trying to. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So trying is effort.
Right.
And so it's, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it just sounds like, so there you are, you've got a vision for the future. It's really well defined.
Yeah.
That vision. It's there as a clear future. You can see how it's done, I'm sure. You can see how you could consult.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the block, you know, of course, there's the fertility issue and the move into that. That's they're both sort of blocking the way, aren't they, at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
That 20% of you, that part of you that isn't able to trust, what does she say about making this move? Let's hear what she has to say.
I think it's that the belief has always been, I have to work harder than other people.
Yeah.
And that's been something in our family. Like, you just have to do harder. You have to work harder. You know, it's not easy. Stuff doesn't just come to you. It's a little bit of that scarcity mindset of, you know, you have to be the standout. You have to be doing the extra. It's not, you know, you don't get to sit back and just have it show up. What are you doing to make it happen? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's effort.
It's effort. Yeah.
Yeah. It will only come to you if you exert effort.
Right.
If I exert my energy into the world, all those people that you're helping, how much effort have they had to put in to get your help?
Yeah.
Has it just arrived for them?
Yeah.
So it's not true.
Right.
That belief. So what would it be like to trust that you'd be held and then make the steps necessary to move into this new version of yourself?
It feels peaceful. And I think it's interesting because it's rare for me to think of being literally like someone caring for me that way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm usually the one doing that. So.
Exactly. And there's the imbalance. If you can work on that belief that you're the one who has to put the effort in, there's something about being able just to open your heart to receive. Again, autoimmune diseases, they're all about fighting and pushing and not relaxing and opening. But it's more to do with your whole body being in a relaxed state to receive. And in receiving, there's also this letting go.
Right.
And so it just, so it feels to me that this baby hasn't arrived yet because you're too full.
Uh-huh.
Full of effort, full of fight. And it's not your fault, it's just the way you've learned to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time to start to you know, let the defenses down and let things come to you. But your whole work is about having the defenses up and having the armor up. So is it clear to you when we're talking about this, like what you might need to do or what might be the decisions that you have to make?
In some ways, but maybe you can give me a breakdown.
Okay. Well, what's the first thing that comes into your mind?
Well, I should probably quit my job. And that is, you know, something I've wanted to do for a while, but again.
Okay. So that's the first thing. And of course, it's scary. Nobody's denying that it's scary. It's like, and it's scary because we relate our financial circumstances to our security and our safety and what will happen if. But it's almost like you're being asked to make a leap at this point.
Yeah.
Which is becoming untenable in your body to sustain where you're at right now.
I agree. Yeah.
And something will give, you know, your body will give so that you have to have time off work, or right. Something else will happen so that you can't manage it because your body is right at that, you know, with the last vestiges of energy that you've got.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing, the first thing, and then to recover, which is going to be difficult for you, but there is a possibility that maybe you can take on some smaller or consulting work in that recovery period,
mm-hmm.
while you learn to take the armor off, while you learn to open your heart and to find that peace and that relaxation deep, 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 deep in your body.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting when you're saying this is I actually had to take a month of stress leave during COVID because I had just negotiated a contract. I was exhausted and I had to take time. It was during that time that I decided to do this certification program and was like, I know this is where I need to go, but it's because I could pull the armor off for a while and be in it and be like, this is where, you know, I can make good choices.
Yeah.
And I know that right now it just feels too much. So I hear you.
Yeah. And you're not without resources, not without intelligence, not without, creative ability to find other ways for that finance to come to you, and it will come to you. But at the moment, there is no opportunity for any part of your life to be different in this exhausted space.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, 100%. I feel it.
Yeah.
I know it.
A baby can't be in that nest of yours if that nest is depleted.
Yeah.
So it's totally doable, this.
Right.
It's totally doable, but it just requires this change in your energy.
Yeah.
Which is the hard bit, of course. You know, it's easy for me to sit here and speak to you about this. But changing your energy into a slower pace, into less defensive, being aware of when the defenses come up, being aware of when you've got your armor on or off, being aware of being in caring mode that is depleting you.
Right.
Being aware of doing things in your world and in your life that you don't really want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that in so many places in my personal life, I've gotten better at retiring from some of the roles I've played that no longer work for me. But the work part has been really hard because I feel this need to have a stable income. And that's, I think, the part I have to just make peace with so that I can jump, you know, like you said, trust that the right thing will show up when I make room for it.
And also, yeah, it's just knowing that that's where you're being called to. It's being really truthful with what you're being called to do, taking on that like private work or consulting work only really touches you.
Right.
You know, and not making a decision based on money, but based on your heart.
Yeah.
I can empathize with where you're at in terms of the job thing, because last year, I'd been starting my new online business and I was still working in the clinic and money was just this holding this fine line. And I'm not saying it's miles better now, but it's better than it was. But I had to make this leap and this real shift because I felt like I was dragging part of myself along behind me that just was going, you know, was putting her heels down and her hands out saying, no more, no more, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm going, yes, no, we've got to carry on because we have got to bring the money in and we've got to keep giving. I had to keep working in the clinic. I had to keep giving my time and my energy to people one-on-one. And it was completely draining, which is, so I really resonate with where you're at the moment. It is a difficult decision to make and there's timing to everything.
Yeah.
But I do feel that in terms of fertility, you're going to have, there has to be something that has to shift in perspective and shift in, you know, how you're moving in your life.
I agree. And I really appreciate you sharing that, you know, it helps me to feel that I'm not alone in this moment and that, you know, I'm sure there's so many people at this kind of change point in their life and wanting to try something that is counter to what they were told they needed to create to sustain. You know, I think a lot of the narrative too, for me, was my mom was a single mom and it was like, you can't trust that anyone else is going to make this work. You have got to be able to have stability. And I think that that's been in the back of my head, like, this is how you have a family. You got to have a lot of stability.
Yeah.
And you can never count on that either at the end of the day.
Well, you can't, and you just never know what's around the corner. But until you take that first step, you just don't know. And that's the thing. It's about making these decisions inside of ourselves. What sort of a person do you want to be? And what sort of a mum do you want to be? You want to be an exhausted mum who's doing a job she doesn't like. And
right, no. And that's it. I know that that's not acceptable for me to be. I want to be able to have the energy. Like, I know I have the energy. It's just getting wasted in places that it is not, you know, benefiting me anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think I could do a great job at it if I can move it into the right, you know, I don't know how to explain it, like, use the battery for the right parts of how I, you know, generate my future. And
yeah, the energy is definitely there, but your body is really screaming at you that it really is screaming at you that it needs the rest. It needs some recovery time. That's the thing with those heavy periods. It takes a while to build your blood back up, to find your healthy space. And I would suggest to you, you might be doing meditation already. You need more. And if you're finding it difficult, just sitting in that space, then that's because there's part of you that is screaming, come on, it's time to get up. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. And I've got to do this. And I've got this agenda. And yeah. And that is the part that needs calming.
Mm-hmm.
That part has got lots and lots of energy inside of you.
Yeah.
You know, she's your child part and she's got loads of energy, but she's on hyper alert. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You know, like on the train. Yes.
Oh yeah. No. I've been coordinating since I was five is the joke / truth.
Right.
And that sense of everybody, what are we doing? How are we doing this? What's the, you know, I'm the person who has all the information or something somehow. So that level of coordination is exhausting. I'm in my head a lot thinking about what do I need to do next? What's on my list?
Yeah.
What plan do I need to make? And again, that's all a control thing that I don't, you know, I'd like to be able to go with the flow and just see how things show up and not have to worry that I have to be the person to do that anymore.
But it doesn't happen in your head.
Right. And it happens in your body, and that not having that time, I'm seeing, you know, I'm hearing you.
Yeah. 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 And sometimes it just takes a conversation like this to see the truth of it. This is you and your body going no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something has to change.
Yeah.
And that is important to you. You know, the change is important. the becoming a mother is important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need to receive. And that's why you're doing this, to become that person who's inside of you. And she's, you know, you're touching her now as you feel these emotions come up, because she is your future. She's your desire. She's the person you want to be.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because as you say that, I don't think a lot of people think about motherhood as a place of receiving. And I think that's a really beautiful way of talking about it. It's, you know, often it's the exhaustion of how you don't sleep or you're just giving and, you know, these things. And so I like that balancing of it being about receiving.
Well, it is. You'll be receiving another soul, if you like. You know, you're receiving another human into your body and providing a safe space for that person. That person who will become.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing. But in order to do that, is you have to let the I thought of a hub when you were talking, like the part that everyone else plugs into for a bit of you, for a bit of your energy. But you have to unplug all of that.
Yeah.
To restore your energy.
Yeah, I joke about being an electrical panel.
Yeah.
But sometimes just the whole panel is like on fire.
You're charging everyone else's battery, not your own.
Right. And I think I guess I just am in exploring this, realizing just how common probably this is, and also being taught how to care for ourselves first, right? I think is something that we're starting to see more of, but it's hard to unlearn some of these patterns. And I see it in so many people, so many of my friends, and obviously in myself. This is something we're not taught how to take care of ourselves really as women.
Yes. This is an unlearning, and it's hardwired into you. So it's not an easy thing to unlearn. It's you're changing your programming.
Right.
And there's only one way of changing your programming, and that's noticing when you're working from that programming, pausing, and then going, okay, I need to work this in a different way.
Yeah.
But your programming has got you to this point. I mean, it's been amazing, but now it's not serving you.
Right. Yeah.
And it feels like a bit of a crunch time. You know, I've got to change this. If I want to get pregnant now, I've got to change.
Right. Yeah. And I think I've been shown lots of examples along the way to try to help me come to this realization. Obviously being here with you is part of that as well. And I think, you know, getting a nudge, like this is something to try and see if there's another perspective. And I'm grateful because I know it's scary, but I know it's what needs to happen.
Well, just try and reframe the fear a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've witnessed other people doing this, I'm sure, changing career, changing direction.
Mm-hmm.
And have you also witnessed it working out, people?
Yeah.
So the fear is really from the child part of you that is connected to your nervous system. You know, it's like, no, this is the way I work. This is the way I work. You're holding on to something that's very old.
Yeah.
And when I say you, I mean that child part of you is.
Right.
She just needs to be held by the hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be the parent to her.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that child who says, no, I've got to fight, I've got to keep working, I've got to keep doing? What would you say to her?
I'm sure many beautiful things and very supportive, and you've got this and I'll be with you to do it, and, you know, all those things. Yes.
And how many times have you said that to other people?
Yeah.
So whatever you're saying outwardly is what your child needs to hear inwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, what she really needs to hear because it sounds like she's not been heard.
Right. Yeah.
Imagine holding her hand and taking her with you through your life. Imagine her by your side, playing on the floor when you're on the computer.
Right.
This inner version of yourself that wants to do. And you can say to her, no, we're playing.
Right.
More playing would be good.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. It's not something I don't remember myself playing too much as a child, which is interesting. And so I think it's like me learning what that looks like for me.
Yeah. And maybe in terms of a partnership, mm-hmm. As well, for both of you.
Right.
To learn to do something that makes you laugh.
Yeah.
And feels like playing and feels like fun, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of work in your life.
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
So just, yeah, try it.
I will.
Whatever works for you, but something that is going to bring you joy.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks so much for this conversation.
Thank you. I really appreciate the insights and the reflections and the opportunity. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, you'll find a lot more content on my Instagram account at thehealingpoint.underscore. If you have a question you'd like to explore and are willing to take part in the podcast, you'll find all the information you need on my website, which is www.tracystevens.org/podcast. Thanks and see you soon.